in heaven. Something you can laugh at later, I guess, with things blinking right here. Well, thank you, elders, for having us here tonight. I think this is a good thing. I think at the very best, it will be, I will have learned, we all will have learned who spoke tonight, and hopefully you'll be edified. At the very worst, you'll appreciate the preachers we have, paid preachers. Recently, a friend of mine died, Keith Ball, and it really hit me pretty hard. And talk about things that just don't seem fair in life, you know. And natural laws that apply to all of us. He's bit by a mosquito overseas, doing the Lord's work, preaching the gospel in India, and then gets bit by a mosquito and gets a 1 in 1,000 chance of dying when he dies. It just really hit me because I went to school with him, and he was a good friend. And he both were intent on preaching, and he went into the preaching, and I went into the teaching. And he, even with his death, is inspiring me to finish strong, okay? To finish the race strong, because here he is. He finished his race strong. And that's what I hope to do, and that's what I hope for you as well. We don't know how long we have, and we just hope to finish the race strong. When I think about finishing, I think about the Revelation, John's Revelation. Thank God for John and his gospel and his epistles and the Revelation, because it gives us so much comfort when we look at his writings. And I'd like to look a little bit about some writings in the Revelation. If you would turn, please, with me to Revelation chapter 2. Verse 7, Revelation 2, 7. Now I'm just going to read, this is entitled Overcoming, okay? I'm just going to read what happens to those who overcome. Revelation 2, 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Verse 17. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It does sound like Jesus talking. Remember him talking? That's the Spirit of Jesus talking as well. To him that overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Now I wonder what my name will be. Did you ever think about that? What will your name be? Yeah, you give it a new name? He who makes it by the skin of his teeth, maybe, I hope. Verse 26. And he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Verse 28. I will give him the morning star. Now I don't know how much of this is real, and you know, not how much is figurative and what, but sounds like a pretty good encouragement to me. I want this. I want these things. Verse 5, that's chapter 3. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 12, chapter 3. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and I will not go out from it anymore. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. Well, I don't know that I want to be made into a pillar, but that might be figurative, I don't know. Verse 21, chapter 3. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Can you imagine Christ letting you sit on his throne? You know, that's just unimaginable to me. I can imagine it because I think maybe, you know, you ever watch Star Wars and you see Luke and Leia standing there at the end of the show and they're left looking out on the galaxy. You know, I kind of envision something like that, you know. Here you are, the adopted child of God. The opportunity to sit on the throne with Christ. 2 Timothy 3:16, we know that probably by heart. All scriptures inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. My version says adequate, but the actual, the Greek is perfect, complete. Now, if God's word is to make us perfect and complete, don't you think it's perfect and complete? Yes, it is. Perfect and complete. This is something that is perfect, given to us from God. We're looking at it on Wednesday night, and I'm just impressed and amazed at how accurate it is, and how succinct and vibrant it is for our lives, and applicable to our lives. Jesus said that the scripture is not broken. So we would look to see what the question would be arising in your mind. What's overcoming me? What do I have to overcome? And so that's what I'm looking at tonight a little bit, what overcoming means. And I looked at it, and I'm not a Greek person, all right, but I do have a Greek interlinear, and if you ever get a chance, you ought to get one of these. It's really handy. They have the English right underneath the Greek word, and it's just how the Greek spoke, you know, it's just in line, how the Greek spoke a little bit different than how we speak. And their words, they can have multiple words for our one English word, which they do for overcome. And this is Thayer's. Thayer's Greek lexicon, handy to have, but that's what I accessed to get this. Actually, three words for the word overcome. Kathapiru, which means to bring down, to bear down, bring down, cast down, or being fallen into. Now, you know where that was used? In poor old Eutychus. Remember Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, kicking into a deep sleep, and as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. So that was how that particular verse of overcome was used, that particular word of overcome. Kind of a play on words. Being fallen into is what it means. Falling into sleep, he fell out of the window. So it's kind of, the Greek would know that in that writing. The other way that it is used is hikeo, that's the Thayer's number 2274. To make less or to be inferior, thus to overcome. To make less or to be inferior. And the other one is Nikeo, which is Thayer's 3528. It means to conquer. It means to absolutely carry off the victory, come off victorious. Now, both of those, you might ask, well, how are both of those overcome? But they both deal with the person's character. You can be overcome, you can be made less of a person, overcome in that fashion, or you can overcome by being victorious in the end. Let's look at them. Here's one way that 3528 is used to be victorious. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that both those usages is to have access to victory, carry off the victory, overcome evil with good. So that's one way we can overcome evil. What type of evil, you might ask? Well, 1 John 4:2-5. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, you've heard it is coming into the world. I think that the Antichrist is the personification of a certain type of evil that denies that Christ is the Son of God. And we see that so much in our society today. They do it by their lies. People do it by their lives, and they will persecute us when we suggest otherwise, that Christ is the Son of God. So, notice it says, little children, you have overcome them. So overcome this persecution. This is overcoming an idea, an ideology, people, the thoughts of people that are errant to God, Christ's sonship. Also in 2 Peter 2:19-21, it says, for by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. That version's word is made inferior. By what man is made less or made inferior, that he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord's Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, made less. The last state has become worse than the first. So they have, we can become enslaved or the defilements of the world. So you might ask, what is that defilements of the world that I must overcome? Jesus said what it was. Mark 7:20-23. That which proceeds out of a man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So we have to, in other words, guard our heart. Because it's not how the things out there in the world that's bad things necessarily. It's how we react to that. The things, the evil that proceeds from our heart, that's what defiles the man. Makes us less. I thought that, I don't know what your version says, deeds of coveting. I thought, well, isn't it just coveting, but it's deeds of coveting. I thought that was kind of interesting, how that would say deeds of coveting. But and the Greek for that says greedy desire to have more. So we have to be careful about coveting one more. So lastly, let's look at 1 John now. I talked about John, how beautiful the epistles of John are. 1 John 2:14, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Well, there's something to be overcome, the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices, are we? How he acts upon us. You could sometimes tell he's acting upon you, you know. I heard a story once that Martin Luther King threw a book at Satan. I don't know if that's true or not, but sometimes you can just tell that Satan is working on you. My friend Keith Ball, he said he was fasting one day and he was camping. And he's talking about Keith. And he was fasting, and a guy, he said, out of nowhere, this guy comes, and he had, this old guy, he said, he just come up there and had a whole big basket of fruit. And he said, I could tell it was the devil trying to get me to stop my fast. But he was a character. I wish you could have known him. He was a good man. So the evil of the devil, and then 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So what is in the world? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, 1 John 2:16. All that is in the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. Don't read my notes. Almost done. I think about I meant to mention this about the evil people that we deal with in the world, the evil that's in the world that we have to deal with. And remember when Lot was rescued, how he even the people that were being evil and trying to have relations with the angels there that showed up at his door, he said, brothers, you know, he was so entrenched in that. But with those people that he called them brothers, you know, they said, don't be evil like this. In fact, the angels pretty much had to grab him by hands and pull him out of that evil town. And in 2 Peter 2:7-9, I can find that. 2 Peter 2:7-9. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example of those who would live ungodly thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, and by what he saw and heard that righteous man while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds. And the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. So Lot, day after day, was tormented by these actions of these men, but it was affecting him. Okay? We should be, I see things on TV, you know, just cringe. Go to Walmart. My mother used to say, the things you see when you don't have a gun. And it's just things you see in this world just makes you cringe from the things that people do. Lastly, our faith is going to be what overcomes the world. We need to trust God that He's going to keep His promises, that He's faithful. And if we confess our sins before Him, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And in 1 John, he's going to appreciate you, preacher. In 1 John 3:19, I want to read this too. 1 John 3:19 through 22. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We shall know by this that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of the Lord, of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. And the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And we know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit which He has given us. So we can have doubts. But God is greater than our doubt. If we believe in Him, if we love, as He's showing us here in 1 John, the apostle of love, tells us to love and to trust Him and His promises that He gives us. Put me in mind of what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, and I'm almost done. I'm not going to do too long here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And as children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So if we have His Spirit, which is shown right here, our spirit can look at that, and as we're following this, we can have confidence before God. We can have the faith that we have fellowship with Him. We have a hope that is represented by those overcoming facts in Revelation there. So in conclusion then, we should pay no mind to evil people or the devil. We should guard our hearts. We should abide in God's Word like the young men. And we should have faith and believe God that He is going to do what He said He's going to do and forgive us and save us in the end. If we read that book and believe it and we practice it. God is so good to us. And He deserves our total loyalty and to do the best that we can in this life. And I know I feel sometimes that why did I just live and why did these balls have to die? And I think, I should up my game a little bit. You know that. So I hope these comments, these words, are an encouragement to you. And if you feel a need to for us to pray for you, we don't express that need that much here. I know some churches that I've attended, people will ask for prayers, and it is a biblical. Simon asked that when Peter condemned him, Simon the sorcerer, that when Peter condemned him, that he be prayed for. And James 5:16 says to pray for one another so that he may be healed. So if you need a prayer for this congregation, or if you need to be baptized in obedience to the gospel, I'd ask you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.